So I'm going to start out by telling this story. Way back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, I had my first job, which was working at the local grocery store. And it was your typical small town grocery store where they hired a ton of high school students. And so all of us high school boys, they hired to stock the shelves and carry out groceries. And for most of us, this was our first job where you actually had to show up on time, you actually had to do what the boss told you, and we were trying to figure out, okay, how does all this work? Now, as you can imagine, with a whole lot of high school boys and moderate amounts of supervision, there was some shenanigans that happened. I remember one night there was a couple of us, and we convinced the other high schooler who worked over in the dairy section to see if he could bounce a gallon of milk off of the ceiling in the walk-in dairy refrigerator and then catch it as it came down. I will leave that as an exercise to your imagination how that worked out. I will just say he spent a good chunk of the next hour with a mop. But there was a lot of that stuff. And the reason I tell you that is most of us have had that first job somewhere along the way where you figure out, what does it mean to be a responsible employee? What does it mean to do what I'm supposed to do? And I tell you that because that touches on what Paul is writing in this passage that Tom just read for us. You see, this is this fascinating book where Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, which is this little city in what today is Turkey. And he spent the first couple of chapters talking about what it means to be saved, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And then he lays out all this stuff for relations at the end of chapter 3. And if you've read this passage or heard a sermon on this passage, and you might have, this passage talks a lot about husbands and wives and parents and children and how you're supposed to treat each other as part of a household. And that's all good stuff. But I actually want to focus on this part in the center of it with masters and slaves. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Mike, it's a beautiful day at the end of June. We got a church picnic today. Why are you talking about this? Well, funny thing is I think there's a lot for us to learn out of this. You see, part of what happens for us is whenever anybody mentions slavery or bond servants, as it's translated in the ESV, is we think pre-Civil War American slavery. And that's a different animal, okay? Not that slavery in the Roman Empire was good, but slavery in the American pre-Civil War, very bad. We had a Civil War to end that, as we should have, okay? This is a slightly different animal. What happened in those days is you were not taken slave because of the color of your skin. What happened is you ended up as a slave because your people got conquered, and then you got sold into slavery by the Roman Empire, or you ended up in so much debt that you had to sell yourself into slavery. But here's the weird part for us, is as a slave, you could actually save money, earn money, and buy your own freedom. Or if you had a rich relative, they could buy your freedom. Or, as a slave, you could actually own other slaves. How's that for a head trip? Okay, but think about this. Paul is writing to this congregation, and he's saying, husbands and wives, do this for each other. Parents and children, do this for each other. Masters and slaves, do this. So he's writing to this congregation where they've got husbands, wives, parents, children, masters, slaves, all sitting in the same space, all praying together, all singing together, all reading the same word of God together. Isn't that trippy? It's like the old line, the past is a foreign country. They do things different there. But I think what Paul is saying here is something that we need to understand in how we treat each other. See, what he says for slaves is, obey everything in those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye servants as people pleaser, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that the Lord will give you the inheritance as your reward. So it's basically, work hard, because your master is Jesus, not the person signing your paycheck. And this is both challenging for us and freeing for us. It's challenging because that temptation is to just goof off and do the minimum amount of work. We've all had that employee, or that coworker who you know is just goofing off every chance they get and is always being snarky about everybody else and snarky about the boss, and you know they're saying those things about you too as soon as you walk out of the room. You've all had that coworker? If you haven't, it might be you then. Just checking. Okay. But imagine if everybody who was that way said, you know what? I want to treat this job like I'm working for Jesus himself, where I'm working as hard as I can because it's for the glory of God. This is one of the keys of Lutheran theology. It's called the doctrine of vocation. See, back in Luther's day, they said, you know, it was the priests, the bishops, the deacons, the nuns. Those are the holy people. Everybody else, you're just kind of slumming it. And what Luther said is, no. Whatever you do to the best of your ability. If you're a plumber, a baker, a nurse, a stay-at-home parent, a doctor, you do those things for the glory of God. And that's what comes out of passages like this. Because what Paul is saying, look, it might be this person who signs your paycheck, but you're really working for God. And we do these things to the best of our ability. We do these things because we're called to reflect God's glory in everything. And this is comforting for us because we've all had that job where you do not feel like you're getting the appreciation or the credit you deserve. Has anybody ever felt that way? Yeah, we all have. Okay? I'll get that feeling. Nobody knows how hard I work. Nobody knows what I do for a good job. And what Paul is writing here is he's saying, God knows. And because God knows this, your rewards will be in heaven. And understand that we just work to the best of our ability. And even though things here might not pan out the way you want them to, Jesus knows. Now, there's one other interesting piece in this that I want to point out. The very tail end of this, what Tom just read for us. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. That is a challenge for all of us. Because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Mike, it's 2026 in America. We don't own people. Well, we don't own people, but we do rent them. Okay? Think about it. Even if you don't have a business, even if you don't have employees, you're still paying people to, you know, your car mechanics, your pest control people, all those interactions. You're buying people's times. All those customer service interactions. And think of how hard and tough it can be when we're just going to take something out on the people around us. Well, we've just kind of had enough, and you just end up with that poor customer service person who you've just decided, I just can't do this anymore. And you take it out on them. But what Paul is reminding everybody is in the end, we all answer to God. And even if you have all the power and the status here on earth, when that relationship is out of whack, you still answer to God above. And think of how nice and wonderful it is when we all remember that. I had a funny experience the other day. I was at the grocery store, and you know how it is, you go to the grocery store, you're expecting to get this much groceries and you end up with this much groceries. I had that happen, and so I'm there waiting in line, and the line was really long and moving kind of slow. Whatever. And I was like not thinking a whole lot about it because I wasn't in any hurry. But I get to the front of the line, and I realize what had happened. It was somebody who was their first day. And it was probably, to close the loop, this high school student who had just had her first job and first day, and the manager's right there at her elbow helping her through everything. And what I realized is she was still smiling. And I think what had happened is all the people ahead of me had realized, oh, I don't have to be cranky. This is somebody who's trying to figure out their first day and trying to work through stuff. And they were showing her grace and love in that time. And it was kind of nice because there she was with the bright pink hair and just big smile and helping everybody out. And I'm like, this is nice. Because what Paul is writing is he is giving us a plan for us all working together. Whatever your station in life, whether you're at the bottom, whether you're at the top, because fundamentally it doesn't matter. We all answer to Jesus. Think about that image. Husbands, wives, parents, children, masters and slaves, all sitting in the same congregation, all praying together, all singing together, all worshiping the same God together. And that is a call and a challenge for us to live together and serve everyone around us, regardless of the station in life. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. Help us to remember that our eyes should always be on you, that we should love and serve the people around us, regardless of our station in life or theirs, and that ultimately, you are the one that we glorify and serve. Amen. Please stand.